This episode is brought to you by the Old Dominion Athletic Foundation. Because of you, we create winners in the classroom, in athletic competition, and in life. Become a member today.
Yes. Hello, Monarch fans. Welcome to the Hudson Homers podcast. CB is here as always. Coach Finwood, even after a long night of driving back from Alabama, is here. How's it going, fellas?
Good to be here. Good to be inside where it's not raining cats and dogs.
There you go.
I have a question, Gary. When are we going to get our Hudson Homers Monarchist podcast hats printed?
Ah.
Like, yes,
we need to get that rolling for summer recruiting, you know.
Yes, we are. Mike and I were actually having a discussion about that the other day. We got to figure out the provider now that we can make our own merch again. Yeah. But that's at the top of the list. He was joking about adding something else to what we were doing, and I said, as long as Finney gets his hats first, that's fine.
I like it.
CB can attest to that.
Yeah, that's what matters. He'll coach up.
Yeah.
So you guys drive like halfway last night and then the rest today?
We drove to Columbia. We did that on the way down as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guys are on spring break this week. So
nice.
We were able to save some money and not have to fly. We didn't have anything we needed to get back early for today in terms of class or anything like that. So we figured it was worth doing that. So we really only have one flight trip this year, which is nice. And saves you a lot of money in the long run. Two weeks. When we go to South Al, we're going to fly into Pensacola, drive over, and then fly back out of Mobile. So just worked out price wise that way. And Pensacola's not
okay.
Far, so, and Mobile's 10 minutes from campus, their airport. So it'll be nice, you know, getting back. And that one was kind of unavoidable. That's even a longer trip than Troy. So. Troy and, you know, like Atlanta, you can break that up and it's not terrible. And I would always much rather be on a bus with a baseball team than flying, man, with the gear. The thing about some of the places in our league, by the time you fly and then get on a bus and drive 2.5 more hours, you know, it's exhausting. And then you're trying to go practice and – all that, you know, are this way, you know, I think your guys are actually, as crazy as it sounds, jet lag is a real deal.
Yeah.
And I think your guys are less tired doing it this way. So I really do. We were able to push that game against Norfolk State to Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And on that note, we're going to play that game at 3:00 instead of 6:00 because of the cooler temperatures. So. We thought moving that up would be smart Wednesday, so we're gonna do that. And then,
glad I know I can try to work now.
I think it's warming up after that for the weekend, so the weekend looks better. So
good,
yeah. I was gonna say, you know, very well the travel costs and the impacts after last year being on the road the entire time. I don't think you had that luxury last year to take the bus everywhere you wanted to go.
No, we had some longer trips and although the one, you know, spring break trip, you know, when we went to Auburn and then played Southern Miss, we were able to, you know, have the bus for that and break it up. So that wasn't too bad doing it that way. So, but we had some flights on top of that as well, you know. But, yeah, so guys, we got back about 4:30 and unloaded everything. I'm sure the guys are sleeping or something right now. I'm sure they're eating or sleeping. And we'll lift weights tomorrow in the morning and then work out tomorrow afternoon. You know, hopefully the field will dry out. I think it will. And I didn't get a chance to because it was pouring down rain. But the things that get you excited, you know, that are a little bit on the periphery is our Bermuda grass had started to turn green already with the warmer.
Hey.
So we're excited to see it when we get out there tomorrow. It's starting to green up. They mowed it, I think, for the first time last week. So I don't think you're cutting a lot of grass right now, but it only takes a little to get it growing. And, you know, as we talked about earlier, we didn't overseed this year. We just painted it. And so now it'll come into its own and should be a nice look.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, we talk about the games over the last couple of days. Went 1-3. I mean, played four tough road games. I think I'd hardly say it was a disaster by any means, because you got the one at Troy, and that's kind of the thing. Just don't get swept on the road. But do we even want to talk about East Carolina?
Yeah, absolutely. We should. yeah, we got to own that stuff, man. We didn't play well. They played very well, and we didn't play well. And, you know, in our three losses this week, and in some respect, even in our win, like, it's the same problem. We're walking too many guys, hitting too many free bases. On the week, I don't know what we were. I'll find that out tomorrow. But, you know, strikeouts to free bases against a pitching staff, but it wasn't good. And that's something that we, you know, got to get fixed, because you can't win. You know, we gave up 11 free bases yesterday, and they gotta give up 7 of them in 2 innings. You know, they were beating us 4-1 at one point, and all they had was an infield single. We'd made an error on the mound and had 7 free bases. So you can't win it at this level, you know, pitching like that. And, you know, the guys know that. We've got to do a better job with them. We've got to coach them better. We've got to demand more. it's unacceptable. That's just the easiest way to say it. So, having said that, we had a couple young guys come in and throw the ball well, you know, this weekend, and that's something we can build on. Cole Lanford, I think that was as good as I've seen him throw. It was as good as I've seen him throw since he's been here. You know, he was 91 on the fastball. He was cutting it. The slider was good. He was moving faster than I've ever seen him. And, you know, unfortunately, it was in a game where, you know, we were kind of out before we were in it. And you know, in the Friday game, you know, I mean, in all essence, guys, like, you got to think we're fortunate to have one of those this weekend, because we averaged under 2 innings for our starters for the weekend. you know, not even 1, 1, and 2. And so to win one of those, and especially Friday, you started going out hurt, right? Did something in his chest. And I thought Pat Johnson came in that game. That's an incredibly hard thing to do. Be sitting down there cold and then have to go down. And no matter how long you tell them they can take, I don't think they ever take long enough.
No.
Everybody waiting.
You're not mentally ready in the first inning. I mean, you might be thinking, okay, maybe the second or third, I got to start getting thinking, but there's no way you're mentally ready. And I guarantee they're rushing, because they're like, everybody's waiting on me.
Well, yeah. And I mean, what it should be on Friday is you ain't even thinking about getting out there till 6 or 7, but we haven't had that luxury yet. But 100%. The old rule used to be, it's an interesting deal, because the old rule used to be you had to warm up on the field. And then you never took enough, because everybody's watching you. Now the new rule is you can pick. If you come out on the field, you can take as long as you want, or you can stay down in the bullpen. But when you come on the field, you got the normal 2.5 minutes, just like any reliever coming. And I choose that one, because I told you know, Mike, go down there with them, just like he's starting, and make sure they're ready to go. And then when they come out on the field, 2.5 minutes is plenty.
Yeah.
Like the in-between innings. So, you know, Pat gave up the home run, but after that he gave him zeros and allowed us to take the lead, which we never gave up. And then I thought Tanton came in, you know, Ben's been throwing the ball good, man. He had another three, you know, and a couple walks got gave up, you know, and Park, you know, gave up a run because he walked 3 guys, I think, the one inning, but
he
had a clean second inning. And then Davis, you know, we were up 10-4 or 10-6, and Davis gave up a single in the 8th and 9th, but it wasn't, you know, enough to hurt us. So we just battled. I was really proud. We swung the bats really well, you know, had a bunch of big hits. So Dallas had a big day with four RBIs or three, and then Johnson had four RBIs and, you know, big two out bases loaded double. And so we got a lot of big hits, a good Friday night road win and a tough place to play. And, you know, when you get that on Friday, everybody relaxes a little bit, but man, we just were awful in the first two innings. You know, three innings this weekend, it's easy to say you take those three innings, but we caused them all. Like, two strikes, not making pitches, like throwing balls right down the middle, walks, hit batters. And then yesterday we made two errors on the mound and gave them three or four more runs. So just not a good enough performance, man. And I'm not like publicly bashing these kids because we've already talked about it, but they got to own it. And I think the thing is, we only scored four runs in each of those games. We made that a 7-4 game in the sixth yesterday. Got two outs to climb within three, and then we go out and walk the leadoff guy in the bottom of the sixth. And we just keep doing that, and it just shoots you in the foot every time you get some momentum. And we got to find a way to get shutdowns, whether you're up and trying to expand the lead or you're down and trying to climb back in it. When we've been in the games, offensively, I think we've done a pretty good job. We can play some offense. The guys have been a competitive back. And look, they had their best guy going Saturday with a 13-1 lead. I mean, they're not losing that game. That's a boat race at that point.
I mean, that game was phenomenal. The fact that six scoreless innings after giving up a billion runs in the first two.
Yeah, kept it from being runner.
That was impressive.
We need to be able to do that earlier so we can.
Right. Yeah. Not give up the 13 runs first and then do it. Yeah.
So,
23 of the runs allowed this weekend came in the first three innings.
Yeah.
And that's tough. But I mean, you talked about on Friday where, you know, nothing you can do with Ryan Sheehy getting hurt coming out of the game. Right. You know, Patrick gives up the home run, but like you were talking about, he settled in, and Ben Tanton settled in, was like a stabilizing force the rest of the game. That's not the first time he's done something like that. I was going to ask you, like, is there a thought of potentially moving Ben into a starter role, even if it's only a two or three inning outing?
Well, I think so, certainly. You earn what you get in this world, in my opinion. It's a performance-based industry, man. And that kid's pitching great. I'd love to see somebody go out there, and he's got a little bit of smoke coming out of his ears. He's a true freshman, so he's going to make some mistakes. You know that. But, you know, he's got that fastball that's got the carry on it that gets up on guys. And he's got a developing off-speed arsenal that's getting better. You know, he certainly deserves that opportunity, and it could come as early as this weekend for sure. Something to be said about, I think Cole Lanford's out. Throw some stuff in there too. I mean, if he can replicate that, then he should be able to, you know, be another guy that can do some of those things. You know, we got to get Cusky back on track because, hopefully that's just a stinker. And everybody has him once in a while, but it's a little bit scary because he's had two out of his last three. And, you know, it's just that's we need him to be better than that. I mean, he's supposed to be the guy that's anchoring this pitching staff. And, Gaddy, there's no mystery. He's just got to throw strikes. Like, he's not getting hit. He just walks everybody. And that's a guy that didn't walk anybody in the whole fall, like, or spring.
Yeah.
Now he's walking everybody and hit two guys in the head with changeups this year. I think he's got to look in the mirror and decide I'm going to be better because he's capable.
I'm not in the dugout, wasn't on the field for any of these, but it just looked from watching it that he was trying to be too fine and too pinpoint with where those balls were landing rather than in the zone or a quadrant of the zone. He was looking for the single pixel to put the center of that baseball.
Yeah, that never works, does it?
No. A lot of pros have that problem.
Yeah. I'd much rather guys just get the crap knocked out of them and figure out how to throw better strikes. Jackson Okafor is going through a little bit of that right now. Kid's throwing 93, 94. He's just throwing too many balls down the middle, but he ain't scared of contact, and he's not trying to be perfect. And guys like that, you can always help because you can figure out how to throw better strikes.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're afraid to throw strikes because you're trying to be perfect and you just are afraid of contact, you're never going to be successful pitching forever and ever, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, I watch some of these guys like just relax and let it rip. And then they start like, why are you pressing? Like, it's just go out and throw. You know, and he's got to move better. I think there's some things delivery wise he can get helped with on that note. But you know, it's good to see Okonkwo back out there. The stuff was good. His results weren't great. I mean, the guy inside out of one just inside the right field line.
Yeah,
the first pitch, it was 94.
That was brutal.
Just kind of the way it was going, right?
Going back to Tanton and Lanford, and then maybe even adding like Jace Park into this question, during the season, do you guys ever think about or work on stretching a guy out? Or do you kind of look at guys and say, well, no, they're kind of two, maybe three inning guys, and that's kind of what they're going to be for this year?
No, I would love to stretch them out. The issue with, and I was wanting one of those guys to be able to stretch out. The issue was 50 pitches in two innings.
Right, yeah.
They were – it's ridiculous because they were throwing so many balls. And I'm like, I know what happens at that rate, you know.
See, if they're more economical, that's four innings right there, right?
Exactly. You send them out – and I know what happens after that. Either they get hurt or, you know, the stuff is diminished. And, you know, after Park's second, he had a short second inning, but he threw, you know, almost 40 pitches in his first inning.
Right.
Yeah. And I told Mike get Davis in, and he was like, well, it was a good inning. I go, yeah, he's 50 pitches in two innings. Yeah, we could run him back at it. But Davis is coming in anyway, so why not get him in fresh? Like Parker was going to go two more innings. So, yeah, I love guys. I'd love to be able to use two guys instead of five.
Yeah,
without a doubt. But
like you said, it all comes down to they got to show you they can do it. It's up to them.
100%. And right now we throw so many balls that we just waste pitches. And it's not like Mike's calling them to waste a bunch of pitches. Right. They're just doing it. We got to be better. You know, we got to be better.
Yeah, I can hear their conversation sometime, him and Ryan, and they're never like, oh, let's waste this one. It's like, let's attack it. Let's get after it. Let's make this pitch.
It's 1-0. It's 2-0 too much. Look, man, I'm not just burying our pitches staff, but these are all things we've talked about. It's got to be 0-1 more. It's got to be 0-2 more. It's got to be 1-2 more. And then when it gets 1-2 or 0-2, we got to make them hit. Instead, it can't always be 1-2 and then it's 3-2. And, you know, you got to make them hit. Make them take more defensive swings. Like, if you give up a few more hits because of that, so be it. But whenever you play a team that just floods the strike zone with good stuff, and it's not a stuff thing for most of our guys, it's a command thing. Like, you're putting these guys in hitters' counts instead of pitchers' counts. I mean, there's a lot of pressure on the hitters when guys just flood the strike zone. And look, we swung the bats good on Friday. I mean, we got out hit by one or two on Saturday and one yesterday, I think, and got beat by 9-5. And so it wasn't like they were hitting that much better than we were. We were giving them too many freebies, you know.
Shocked. Many hits plus twice as many walks and free bases adds up. Right?
They didn't walk anybody. That was the difference. Yeah. They didn't walk anybody. They threw a lot of strikes.
Yeah, I thought there was a mistake in the box score from Saturday because Troy did not walk anyone. And granted, part of that is because when you're up 13-1, you can just throw fastballs down the middle like you're talking about.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's big compared to, you know, seven.
Well, and that's the frustrating thing for Friday. We're up 10-4. In the sixth, and Jace goes out and walks the first two guys on like nine pitches. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, make him hit it. You know? And he gave up one, fortunately. Actually, two. But then he had a better second inning. But it's like, man, you got to make him hit when you're up multiple runs. Like, it's much harder to hit. And there's a needle to thread there. We're not saying throw it right down the middle, you know, like a Coke machine. But we're saying make pitches. You're a Division I pitcher. You should be able to make pitches. And look, we're all frustrated with that. Mike is, we all are. You know, and you know, we played pretty good defense. On we made one error on the field all weekend. Mm-hmm. That was a late on Saturday backhand play with Will, but two errors on the mound yesterday. But we played pretty good defense down there overall, and especially on
practice. I've always felt like an error on the pitcher should count towards their ERA.
I agree. Like throwing away
like pickups, frankly,
bunts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of absurd.
Like, yeah, runner on third, nobody out. Yeah. You just do a pickoff, move to third, and throw it in the dugout, and be like, "Oh darn, unearned run." Sorry.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. One other name I want to call out from Saturday, Maddox Jack, two innings pitched, no runs, no hits, no walks, three strikeouts. He looked great on Saturday.
I think Maddox is, you know, he's another Tommy John guy. Like he redshirted last year. At Tommy John his senior year, so just got to pitching in the second half of the fall. He's incrementally getting a little better, right? Learning to trust his fastball. I think he's going to have a big time fastball at some point. Max got to get a little meaner. Like he's a nice kid.
He is too nice. Great kid. Yeah, he is a really nice kid. Like,
you got to have some smoke coming out of your ears when you're out there, man.
He's a big boy, too. He's not small. He's like 6'4", 215.
And he's developed a pretty good breaking ball. So he can help us downstretch. Look, these young guys, Chris Cavalcante was throwing 94 yesterday. Mm-hmm. Like, and he's going to be fine. These young guys are going to have to throw. We're going to have to take some lumps with them because I really think they're going to be good.
Yeah.
And, you know,
this is the kind of the thing that has potential, like, 2 years from now being like an insanely dominating pitching staff.
Well, you hope so, but you got to get them out there. If the other guys aren't better, then like let's just throw the young guys and let them grow up and learn and get better. And mm-hmm. you know, you're talking about Okonkwo and Jack and Tanton and Cavalcante and Lanford. I mean, that's five freshmen right there. Yeah. And Park is a sophomore. So you know, we've lost some arms that were, you know, we thought were going to be pretty good bullpen arms for the year, and Ben Alstein and Baines. And now she's gone down. I don't know what his status will be, but he, so the young guys are going to have to throw. And Pierce has been, you know, Conkle was shut down for a couple of weeks. He had just a little bit underwater with his arm, and Pierce has been that way for a couple of weeks. We got to get him back up on the board and throwing a little bit. Maybe Jackson Runyon can give us some, you know, some innings right there too. And so piece it together, but we got to get better starting pitchers. No doubt about that. And by that, I don't mean seven innings. I just mean, get you into the game, you know,
Get out of the third, not down double digits, right? Like, there you go.
Give yourself a chance. And I think offensively, you know, some guys are trending in the right direction. I thought Mac Dyson went to bat really well this weekend. Yeah. He's moving in the right direction. You know, Late didn't have a great weekend. He's pulling off the ball, which is uncharacteristic of him. And I don't know if that wall had something to do with it or what.
But he heard me on the podcast last week talking about he needs to pull more balls to right. That's my fault.
But Zadalas had a good weekend.
Yeah.
You know, Mav hit a home run, double Saturday. We need him to keep going. Like, I mean, Mav's hitting 250 points higher than he's ever hit in February, March. So I'm good with it.
Cash J was 3-for-9 for the whole week. So, I mean, you know, which isn't anything like amazing, but coming from under 200, now he's over it.
Yeah. Did he get over the Mendoza line?
He did. He's up. He's up to maybe, might be batting higher than his weight now.
Yeah. That'd be good.
The home run that Mac Dye hit on Sunday, they were reading out some of the data on it on the broadcast. 112 miles an hour off the bat, 427 feet.
Yeah, he hit it good.
I mean, crushed.
For sure.
Crushed.
TJ, you know, TJ didn't have a great day yesterday, but he, you know, he's been a guy that's been in the mix for us. You know, he's having he's off to a good start. So I think offensively, you know, and Grayson Spahr had a couple big at-bats for us. He's been swinging the bat fine. You know, we got to get Scotty Young going a little bit better. He had a double on Friday. You know, at the time it was a big hit, but we got to get him going. He dove again and, you know, like jammed his knee up. That's why he didn't play Saturday. But he's we got to get him like a basketball knee pad.
Yeah,
that Bursaschak thing, it just gets irritated every time you hit it. So he's gonna need to be in there with us. And then you know we had Morales got in that bat yesterday. He's gonna be a really important guy to get back in there. He's not quite ready all the way yet, but hopefully we can get him back. You know, swinging the bat for us, it gives us another right-handed bat in the lineup, especially against lefties. I think we need that.
Yeah. And I'll you know, give credit to Troy too. Like their pitching was really, really good. Especially I think the guy that threw on Saturday. I mean, he was unhittable. Then he could fill the zone. Then their starter on Sunday, Dylan Alonso. I mean, I think he had 7 strikeouts through 5 innings. His breaking ball was nasty. I mean, he was getting very good hitters to look silly at the plate.
Yeah. We finally started just stop swinging at it. Just nobody swinging at it. And we'd hit every fastball, and you know, I thought on Stubbs, their Saturday, the lefty, I thought we actually hit him okay, man. He got out of some, worked out of some jams, and you know, he had a big lead, so there's no stress on him in there. So, but you know, I mean, we hit him harder. Their coaches actually said they hit him harder than he's been hit. So, you know, there's no moral victories in that, certainly. So look, we're 1-2 and we're 9-9. And, you know, my dad used to always say, you're right where you're supposed to be. whether you like it or not, that's the truth.
Yeah. You are who you are. Yeah.
So that's who we are right now. And we just doesn't mean we're terrible. We're not great, certainly. But we got to fix some things, especially on the mound. And, you know, we have to we got to keep working there, man, because I think if we can do that, then we'll have a shot at most of these games. And you look around the league and, you know, like JMU had been scuffling. They swept Georgia Southern at home. Louisiana Monroe swept Texas State at home.
Yeah.
Arkansas State beat Southern Miss 2 out of 3 at home.
Yep.
They're in the top 25 now.
They're ranked, yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That? So 1970 last time?
Louisiana beat South Al 2 out of 3 at home. You know, Coastal swept Appalachian on the road. Mm-hmm. So we got Appalachian coming in this weekend. Mm-hmm. And so it's a big series. Yeah, I mean, they're all big, right? You could say that every weekend. Right. But it's a big series because you need to
win
a series. And, you know, make sure you don't get swept on the road. Try to sneak a road series somewhere. And if you do that, you'll be in the tournament, and in some form or fashion. So, we just got to get this thing figured out on the mound. And I think, as I think about most things, it's a mindset as much as anything. You know, you're not going to find it in numbers or spreadsheets or, you know, any of the metrics. It's going to be like, who's going to trust themselves enough and be tough enough to battle guys and compete and throw it in there. Coach Guzzo used to always say his dad would stand back behind home plate and he'd always hear him. And his dad would say, come on, throw it in there, challenge him.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just the old school stuff, man. And we need some guys.
It's funny how that part doesn't go away. You can't analytics your way around just being tough.
No.
And you can't survive pitching behind all the time. It's just not going to work.
No.
Like, it doesn't work. College hitters are.
You don't see a lot of successful leaguers who are always down 2-0 as a pitcher. Paul Skeens isn't doing that every at bat, right?
Mm-mm.
I remember years ago we were in a conference tournament. It might have been our first year in Conference USA. We're playing Rice. We had just beaten them, so we were playing them to go to the finals. Mm. I think it was 14 the year we got in that large. And the kid, they had a big right-handed kid who's a freshman. This is deep in the tournament, you know. So, and it was probably the third or fourth inning, and he was kind of struggling a little bit, throwing strikes. It was still a good ball game. It was early in the game. And I can remember listening to Wayne Graham, you know, who won a gazillion games. He had him in the corner of the dugout, and he was going, why is it always 1-0? When is it ever going to be 0-1? I'm never gonna forget that, but yeah, we feel that way sometimes, the way it's going right now. Like, the guys got to attack earlier, and, you know, I just think that's the way we need to get them wired and get them back in there. And so hopefully we can work on that this week. And, you know, we got Norfolk State on Wednesday. It's going to be a little cooler next
week. Oh, hey, speaking of that year, I saw Tim Levine's team the other day, Norfolk Academy. Saw those guys out there, Green Bar Christians.
A couple good guys.
They had a good little team. I played Green Bar Christians, another ODU guy, Pat Nichols' team. Yep. Yeah, it was a good high school ball game.
Yeah, I'm glad the guys are starting around here. Give us some games to go watch here as something it starts to warm up. And there's a couple kids in there that are underclassmen that we're recruiting pretty solid. So
we love it.
I always like to see those guys when they get rolling.
Yeah. Well, one benefit. So
Norfolk State on Wednesday. I'm sorry. I think I cut you off. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. Yeah. Norfolk State on Wednesday. And, you know, it's just a chance that you got to play anybody. We've shown we can beat anybody. We can lose to anybody. You got to show up and play. And we
got to beat them. Yeah. I mean, you got to show you can do it.
Play good and beat them up pretty good. I'm sure they'll be coming up trying to, you know, get us back. And, You just got to show up and play. And we gotta like rehearse having some good things happen to us.
Yeah.
You know, and look, man, on top of everything else, I mean, we were lucky down there. The weather was great. It's a cool ballpark. It's quirky. I love it, actually. Like, it's got its own unique things to it. I don't think it's a hard, other than them being good, I don't think it's necessarily a hard place to play. It's not like Southern Miss from a fan standpoint. Any means, but I think it's definitely a home field advantage there because they know how to play that wall, and I don't think that really came into play and hurt us at any point. But you know, you're gonna have some balls that maybe would have been home runs that are singles, then you'll have some balls that you know should have been outs that are doubles. and it's just that the way that wall is. So I like it. It's cool. They've done a nice job with their renovation they did, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. It's pretty. That's just makes you realize, I mean, how far behind we've been facility wise, and we're catching up now. So that's exciting.
Yeah, and you know, App State rolling in this weekend. The advantage of you all being on the road and me not being at the ballpark is I got to watch a ton of college baseball this weekend, and I watched the end of all three Coastal App State games.
They were all good games, right?
Oh, yeah. Coastal had to come back with multiple runs in the ninth inning of the first two games to win, and then they had to score the go-ahead run in the eighth to win the third game. So App was right there with them. I think game one, they gave up like a 3-spot in the eighth and a 4-spot in the ninth and lost, but that was all Coastal's runs. So App is scrappy. They will stay in it for sure.
That's what I remember about them last couple of years. They hit.
Yeah, it's a thorn in your side, man. Like there's a lot of similarities in terms of never being out of the fight.
Yeah. Well, they're well coached. They got good players, and I'm sure the kid that started at shortstop for them last year as a true freshman was the freshman of the year shortstop for Clemson this year.
Yeah, I saw he's at Clemson. I saw the fly the other day. I was looking these guys up,
and he's hitting about 200.
Probably should have stayed, right? Yeah.
But that's the way college athletics is now.
Yeah.
I don't want to belabor it. I've heard we're not really supposed to say much about it, but I just wanted to say, our hearts and prayers are all out to, everyone affected with the tragedy from last week. We were on the road when it happened and fortunately didn't have to deal with the repercussions of the physical parts of it. The hotel actually gave us a real nice plant and a card and some things like that. And they had a moment of silence on Friday for the victims and Colonel Shaw. And sad that's what we're going through in this world. Tragic, sad. I feel bad about it for everybody. And, it's two motivations in this world, love and hate. And you got to decide which one you're going to choose. And unfortunately, there's just a lot of people choosing hate, and that saddens me. So we look for the bright spots, and I think sports can give us some of that. Driving back last night, watching that USA Dominican Republic World Baseball Classic game, I mean, what a amazing game that was. You could cut the tension in that game with a knife from the first inning to the ninth, and just superstars out there just getting after it, you know?
I got to go to the first World Baseball Classic back in, like, 06 down in Orlando, and we had Dominican Republic, Italy, Venezuela, and I can't remember the fourth team. I've been Panama, maybe, but I'm the energy, talk about love, the energy of, like, the Dominican-Venezuela game is still one of the coolest things I've ever seen in person. Just sitting there on the lawn, I became an honorary Venezuelan that day. Like, they were oh, man, it was amazing. Yeah, it was so great. And so, yeah, you talk about love. I mean, seeing those things where you get those big world events where people get to represent and love their country. I mean, that very cool event. I'm glad that they've found a way to allow the players to play in it and make it such a big deal.
Yeah, me too. And then we got another great game tonight, man. You got Italy and
Venezuela.
Vinny.
Yeah, Vinny's got Team Italy rolling. And so, I mean, that comes on at 8, I think. So we'll be watching that. And hopefully we'll get the espresso machine fired up.
Yeah, there you go.
It'd be great to see USA and Italy in the finals, I think.
That'd be fun.
So, you know, that was cool. I mean, it just makes you realize, like, you're not going to see those guys play that hard again until the World Series or the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, but
I saw somebody made a joke about Paul Skeen's pitch count and said, well, don't worry, you won't be pitching an important pitch until 2030 World Baseball Classic. Oof. Rough.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
You know, and just the plays, like watching Bobby Witt Jr.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, unbelievable.
Is a gift, man. Like, that dude, oh, my gosh.
I remember I saw him playing when he was 16. I was like, this kid is something.
Yeah. He's incredible.
So that's
and then Roman hitting a home run Henderson hitting a home run. I mean, you got some young dudes that are
former Norfolk Tide, Gunnar Henderson. Yeah.
And the bullpen, I mean, what a job the bullpen did for us too. Like just guy after guy after guy after guy, you know, it was big time. So that was fun to watch. That's like I told our guys, watch these games, man. This is as good as it gets, you know.
Yeah.
Every guy the Dominican Republic brought out there was throwing 98.
Yeah. It's an all-star team.
Yeah.
But I was surprised to see Japan out already. I thought, you know, fighting Shohei Ohtani's would be there in the finals, but
yeah,
it's been fun. I mean, Team Italy, like who would have thought with all those guys, awesome. But I guess they got Caglione and Pasquatino. They got a bunch of dudes. They can do some damage.
They got some good players other than those guys too, man.
Yeah. Like,
they got some dudes. I hate that the catcher Teals hurt because he was doing really well for him, the kid from UVA.
Yeah.
Kyle Teal. So, well, guys, thank you again as always. I don't talk too much, but I know you got Toddlers of Dallas coming on. And I wanted to say this. I'm really happy for Tyler. He should be really proud of himself. Like he really struggled last year and, you know, made a point of just, he was a guy that just didn't quite believe in himself enough. I don't think, he's super talented. He's very strong. He's a fantastic athlete. He can run, he can throw, can hit with power. And he just needed to figure out what his thing was going to be, how to simplify his approach, how to look for certain pitches and things like that. Sometimes it takes a little while. And he, you know, is off to clearly a much better start, you know, than a year ago. And he's having, you know, he's right in the middle of all the good things that are happening for us when they happen offensively. He's got something to do with that. And he's become a much tougher out. And, you know, he's getting, and one of the reasons for that is he's swinging at better pitches. You know, he's taking balls, swinging at strikes. That's this oversimplification, but that's what he's doing. And he's not missing them because he's on time for them and he understands what he's looking for. And, you know, he's transitioned into playing in the outfield more. I'm not sold that he can't come back in and play third base someday, but we wanted him to just focus on the offense. And I think the third base thing maybe added a little bit of stress to him and they didn't need. And now he's DHing and playing outfield. I think it's just a little easier to focus on hitting. And, you know, that's just my take on it. But just super proud of Tyler. He's a wonderful kid, does everything right.
Yes.
Super hard worker, leader by example. You want your daughter to marry this guy. And so I think comes from a really good family, and I'm glad he's off to a good start. Like, so
yeah, you know,
that bodes well for us, I think.
Yeah, awesome. We're excited to have him on and chat with him. But Finney, thank you as always after your crazy travel for hopping on here. We
appreciate y'all's support, and come on out and see us people this weekend. If you don't want to come out Wednesday, I understand, because might be chilly, but this weekend looks like pretty nice and nice weather. We'll play Friday night at 6, Saturday at 3, and Sunday at 1.
All right.
Well, we will see you out there, Finney. Hope to see all the fans as well. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys. Go Monarchs.
All right. Thanks, man. Go Monarchs.
The Old Dominion Athletic Foundation, or commonly referred to as the ODAF, was established in 1964 as a nonprofit organization. The mission of the ODAF is to raise financial support for ODU athletics to ensure that our coaches and student athletes have the resources necessary to compete for championships. The ODAF is integral to the success of ODU athletics and is the channel through which our fans and alumni can partner with our coaches and student athletes for the advancement of the athletics program. Through the generous efforts of our donors, loyal fan base, and community, the ODU alumni from around the globe, the ODAF raises money for student athletic scholarship support and endowments, capital projects, program-specific support, and athletic department operations. Funds are raised through annual giving, multi-year pledges, events, premium seating, and planned giving. With questions about how to get involved in one or more of these initiatives, reach out to an ODAF representative. Gifts to the ODAF are investments in the lives of our student athletes. ODAF members receive exclusive benefits such as priority points for postseason and away game seating, parking, VIP, and hospitality experiences, and more. Because of you, we create winners in the classroom, in athletic competition, and in life. Contact the ODAF and become a member today.
All right, welcome back, Monarch fans. Really appreciate, as always, the time with Finney and him not sugarcoating anything, especially when it comes
to... I was just thinking, man, what you got to love about this, and when Finney talks to you, he's not going to beat around the bush. He's not going to play around. He's going to tell you, like, this is it. Some of our guys, I mean, he, without saying it, basically saying some of our guys suck right now and they got to get better and they got to toughen up. And I think anybody watching could say the exact same thing and say, well, there you go. And then his job as a coach, obviously, is how do you make that happen?
Now, I feel like a lot of the issues in the starting pitching, it's not physical limitations or skill or ability. It's much more between the ears and just simplifying some things down, because we know these guys can throw well. We've seen them throw well all year. They've got a history of throwing well. They're not, you know, an unknown quantity coming off the street. So I would rather find these things out now in the middle of March than later in April, and definitely towards the end of May when we start heading down to Montgomery. But there's some young guys that are hungry that are showing up pretty well. So we'll keep an eye on that, see what changes are made throughout this week, and then of course the home series with App State. But one person who is having a fantastic start to their season, who will be our player guest today, Tyler Zadalis. Tyler, welcome to Hudson Homers.
Thank you guys for having me. It's good to be on this.
And you are off to a pretty incredible start. Now leading the team in batting average at .407. You got OPS. You got 4 home runs, which I did not realize you already had 4 home runs this year until I looked it up. But, man, how are you feeling so far about, you know, your performance at least to start the year?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's awesome to get off to a hot start, but I mean, it's just kind of name of the game in baseball is just not getting too high, too low, especially starting conference play now. It's just kind of staying, you know, here, especially like going on the road during series and stuff like that. Just trying to stay as kind of level and consistent as possible.
What do you think has been the biggest difference? Because, I mean, I think we all know you actually started a little bit hot last year and then just kind of it became a struggle. I mean, you already have – I think your numbers, you already have more hits, as many doubles, many homers, almost many RBIs as you had in about twice as many at-bats last season. Mm-hmm. So what do you think the biggest difference is between this year and last year?
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt, it's just been staying present and kind of any given moment. That's something that, I mean, through a lot of, you know, tough conversations with like with the coaches and even some of the guys, like I mean, Coach Hadra has been awesome, like not being shy, and like Coach Finney, I mean, all the coaches not being shy to have that difficult conversation, you know, whether no matter how uncomfortable it may be, like to really just kind of get you back on the right track. And that, I mean, that's been definitely one of the biggest things just personally that has helped me, and I know helps all the other guys on the squad too. Yeah, it's been the biggest adjustment, just kind of staying present in the moment, enjoying just being on the field every day, and literally just kind of getting back to being a kid and just having fun.
Yeah, because I mean, it really, it's been kind of a multi-year kind of path for you, because I mean, you went from talking about being fun as a kid, you were a really, really good high school player. I think you were like player of your region in high school, and then, you know, you go to South Carolina, you know, it's a big SEC school, and then just don't get to play, which happens to a lot of guys as freshmen. So then you go from really well in high school, not getting to play at, you know, the big SEC school, then you come here playing but not having success. And that's okay.
That's not
it's
good.
A Tubi movie.
Sorry, roommate cooking dinner down there. It's
is it Zach or Scotty burning something? Which one?
Oh no, I live with Evan. So
okay.
Yeah,
he's a really good cook. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, Evan's awesome. No, you're good. No, but I was just saying, it is. I mean, it's got to be. I'm sure you've had, you talk about it, having conversations. This is a multi-year process where you kind of had to, like, I like the way you just said, get back to just having fun, because I have to imagine for a little while there, it probably wasn't very much fun.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's kind of the genesis of it all. What kind of Hage talks to me about a bunch and stuff like that is it just kind of realizing that it comes down to, like, they can tell me all they want, like, have as many of these difficult conversations with me as they want, but at the end of the day, it comes down to kind of me and applying these things and really, like, actually committing to them. And that's been kind of the biggest, just, I guess, jump in maturity is just realizing kind of that, that it's up to me in the most, like, unselfish way possible.
Wow. Tell me, if you want to change as a person, you have to like accept it yourself, and nobody else can make you do it. That's I don't like that, frankly. I'm not into that. Yeah. I'm not going to do it. But good for you that you're doing it.
Well, what are some of the biggest differences you've seen between the team last year and the team this year? Whether it's personalities, skill sets, anything like that. Any major differences year to year that you've noticed?
I mean, honestly, if anything, there's this year. It felt like the guys coming in, I mean, obviously last year I didn't really get a taste of seeing like the new guys coming in from a program because I was a transfer, but this year being able to see the new guys coming in, just seeing how quickly like the older guys, like Luke, Mav, like all the older guys just kind of welcome them in. And then it kind of starts from the top down. Like they see like all the younger guys see the older guys kind of like welcoming them with open arms, and they're able to just kind of like instantly be themselves and be kind of like unapologetically themselves around everybody. And how quickly that happened was something that was just really impressive. That, I mean, again, in my 2 years of college baseball prior to that, I just hadn't seen. And again, I mean, in terms of skill set, it's like you see it in everybody from on both sides of the ball, like the tools are there and everything like that. So it's also, that's something really impressive to see as well.
So you come from a baseball family, right? I mean, like your dad played baseball. Your dad actually, my mom went and dug this out. Let me see if I can pull this up. I actually have a Craig Zadalas. Yeah. That was a 94. Yeah, I was going to say, next time he's at the ballpark, I got to get him to sign that for me. That was
that's awesome.
He played with Andre Jones that year.
Mm-hmm.
So you got, and then your brother Zach was a pitcher. He played at several schools, including also South Carolina. And I was looking it up. He played at UNC Charlotte. He made 3 appearances for Charlotte, and 2 of them were at ODU.
Yes,
which I thought was fantastic. Like back to back games. So that was kind of fascinating. So what have you, I guess, learned from your family about baseball? Like what is? I have to imagine you guys just love it as a family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, If I had to pick one thing that I've learned mainly from my dad is just kind of, which, I mean, we just got done talking about this last year. I didn't do it at all, but literally just not taking anything as serious. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, like, again, it's a game, and like, even just life in general, like, it's not just kind of having fun. Like, I don't know how to put this without it kind of sounding bad. Like, it's not that you're not caring, but
yeah,
it's just not taking everything so serious. Like, it's life or death. You know what I mean?
Well, I was thinking like holding the egg, right? Like, if you're holding an egg, if you squeeze it too tight because you care about it so much, you want to protect it, you're going to crush it.
Right.
If you hold it too loose, it's going to fall out of your hand. You got to find like the exact right way.
Exactly. To hold the egg. Yeah. Exactly. That's an awesome analogy. It's literally, I mean, exactly how it is. And I mean, yeah, like not only a baseball standpoint, but just a life standpoint as well. And then, I mean, from Zach, my brother, just seeing him, like, he was not the most physically gifted athlete. He was like 5'9", but through just kind of, I mean, he worked the hardest out of anybody I've ever seen, played with, like, experienced. I mean, just his dedication and seeing that was something that, again, not only baseball, just being able to take it into just life in general.
Did you guys get to play together at any points?
No, we didn't. Well, when we were like really young, I would like play up with his team sometimes, but no, he had another year of eligibility at South Carolina. We could have played together, but he was like, he had just gotten married at that time and was like, I just kind of want to get on with my life. So,
yeah. And then the high school didn't overlap either. Okay, I guess he was 4 years ahead of you.
Yeah. I was a freshman. Okay. He was a freshman in college.
Yeah. Yeah.
He did what some of these 29, 30-year-old guys that are still somehow playing college athletics should do, like go get a job.
I'm on the opposite end. Keep playing ball, man. If they let you put a uniform on, keep playing ball, whatever.
Like, I say that about those guys, but not Scotty or anyone else on our team who's getting the free extra year.
Yeah, whatever, man. You can pay taxes anytime. Play ball now. Like, right. somebody let you have a uniform, keep doing it. I don't care. If they ever change the rule to where it's like, as long as you're getting a degree, be like 39, like whatever. There's some D4 JUCO that will take you and let you play ball. Go do it.
Yeah. That's kind of high. I mean, he always said he was going to, even before all the COVID stuff and when getting to just all the crazy years back became a thing, he was always like, I'm going to give it 4 years. And then if it doesn't work out, then it doesn't work out. I'm not like that. I'm trying to play for as long as I can, no matter what that looks like. And my dad's the same way. He still shows up to the 50-plus-year-old men's league and is blowing 78 by all.
I say he probably shoves, doesn't he?
Yeah, he throws well. He'll be like leaving to go to a game, and then he'll come back later that night, and he'll like show me a picture of like the pocket radar. It's like, bro, look at this. There's like 88 and like 80. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's actually kind of crazy. But no, yeah, it's
that's
awesome.
Nuts. That's great.
That is awesome. Well, I'm 39 now. I'm pretty sure I could not play any baseball. It's been at least 16 years since I played something organized. So I'm going to have to find like one of those schools that has bowling. I think I might be all right with that.
Yeah.
Mookie, you could join with Mookie Betts. And there's some good athletes in bowling.
Yeah, there. See, I'm all set.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
All right. Well, you may not know this because you were playing in the games and not listening to the broadcast, but I think the Troy announcers were a little obsessed with your arms, because every time you came to the plate, they saw you gripping the bat and they're like, "Well, you know he's strong. Look at his forearms." So I didn't want to screen record it and put it out and let more people see it, but I figured I would bring it up on the podcast instead. So have you done anything different with your workout that could maybe give some tips for those broadcasters?
No. Well, first of all, it's actually funny you mentioned that, because we get on the bus after the game, and then I kind of try to hold off getting on my phone for a while after, and we get back to the hotel, get on my phone, and that's like, I have like 10 messages from my family group chat, and they're all talking about the announcers talking about my forearms. They're like, Ty, they like, what in the world is going on? But no, I mean, nothing really. I mean, Cade, our strength guy, is awesome with just kind of the in season, off season, just kind of everything. He's awesome on and off the field with kind of everything weightlifting wise. So I kind of trust everything to him. And I mean, he's been doing a good job with everybody, just kind of always on us, eat food and gain weight, especially in season. So no, yeah, it's
I'm going to be honest. Like, you know me, I take pictures all the time, but that angle looking kind of behind the picture at you, like, I was like, yo, he is yoked. Like, honestly.
That's awesome. That just made my day. Like,
yeah, I can definitely tell that the workout programs are showing up. And maybe it's just because I'm getting older now and I've watched like 3 years of TJ Akin, like how much bigger he is. And like Zach Leitz trimmed up, like he's looking strong now. So obviously something in that strength and conditioning and nutrition plan is working really, really well for the team this year.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, not, you ask us that in the fall and stuff and it's going to be like, oh my gosh, like we're tired, but no, it's awesome. Like in retrospect and even now it's, I mean, he does everything to get us better. And
that's when you guys are beach body ready, you're thanking Cade. Right?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So, had you played outfield before this year?
I played it growing up. And then my freshman year of high school, it was just kind of the same deal. Like just get me in the lineup any way possible. And I was playing left field my freshman year of high school and I hadn't played it since then. So it's definitely fun being back out there, being in the grass and running around and stuff.
You look like just so far, it looks to me like you're a little bit better in left field than right field. Do you think that's the case or do you just kind of think it's about the same?
Yeah. I mean, I feel I'm getting definitely more comfortable at both spots. It was kind of something like just kind of getting used to being out there and like the different kind of angles that the different kind of spins that the ball takes off the bats and stuff. Just kind of learning that, but no, I feel good and comfortable in both spots. I just like being out on the field.
Let's say you're just like, yeah, wherever, put me somewhere.
Right.
And it's looked like this season, I know everyone's kind of getting back used to how the wind operates at the stadium for not playing there for a year, but I feel like every game we've had, it's been some sort of just ridiculous wind for people in the outfield, whether it's our team, other teams, and it's been nuts. Are you seeing that when you're out there and right of just the wind carrying everything all over the place?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, that's probably one of the main things that we're paying attention to out there. I mean, TJ does a great job in center field, just kind of communicating with anybody that's out there about the wind, about the player that's hitting, about, you know, all these things that play a part in it. And then he's like, hey, like, look at the flag. And it's howling straight in. It's like, you better get your butt in on a fly ball and play it kind of where in front of where you think it's going to land. And then same thing, wind blowing straight out, like just kind of booking it straight back whenever the ball's in the air. So yeah, it definitely plays a pretty big factor.
Well, tell us about how you ended up at ODU. Like I said, we know you started out at South Carolina, you know, obviously you didn't get a chance to play a ton there. I know you went and played in the Appy League, with for Bristol, right? And that who you're with those former minor league parks. So were you already committed to ODU at that point, or was it you kind of were playing there and you're in the portal and just kind of trying to figure out where you want to be?
Yeah, it was. I started there. I hadn't started talking to ODU until probably towards the tail end of the portal kind of process. And it was kind of interesting because I do remember my older brother when he did play for Charlotte and he was pitching here. He always kind of the two things I remember is him talking about like how he liked the campus and then just the wind, how crazy it was there. And him talking about how it was a just crazy good, like hitter's ballpark. And then, it was Coach Feinman at the time called me and I was like, oh yeah, this is good. I like this. And then, yeah, just kind of getting, I mean, it had already kind of been in my head and then getting to know them and Coach Hazra and Coach Finney, obviously. And I mean, kind of everything, it was just kind of, I was like, I mean, I took my visit and it was actually Coach Marin that took me on around campus and everything. And I was like, yeah, this is awesome. So.
And not too far from home either. So that's nice.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Well, what have you enjoyed most about being on campus at ODU over your couple years?
I'd say just definitely the size of it. I like it being kind of much more like compact. And then obviously like you can't beat having all the guys on 43rd Street. And then you got Scotty and Zach and Will a little further down. But I mean, all you have all the guys together on one street, basically neighbors. I mean, that's kind of like, or just a, like automatically a recipe for success to, in terms of just kind of the team chemistry aspect of it. You don't have to just like a short walk down to, you know, whoever's house, and then all the guys are hanging out there. Like, we got the World Baseball, you guys were just talking about the World Baseball Classic. We got that on. We'll probably have that on at our house tonight, and there'll be a good amount of guys coming over to watch, and we'll play cards and just kind of chop it up. And it's nice being around them off the field too, because you spend so much time with them on the field, but then getting to know them as human beings and actually getting to like be their friends is something that's awesome.
You were saying to us right before we started talking with you that you got the window there, and you said you like the ballpark is right out the window. I mean, you're literally looking at it, and you got construction waking you up at 7 a.m.
Yeah, it's a good alarm clock of progress on the stadium. So, yeah, good,
positive spin.
Yes.
How's it being roommates with Evan? Because I mean, I gotta imagine Evan's pretty quiet guy. I imagine he's clean. Is Evan's got to be a clean roommate?
Very clean. Yes. Yeah. Very clean. Okay. Him and Hubble both are very, very clean, and like we have Cam and Chuck, two freshmen in our house too, and it's kind of like
they don't seem clean at all.
Well, they're getting there. They're getting there. It took a little while. They're freshmen, first time living on their own. It's kind of to be expected, but no, they're getting there. We keep a pretty tidy house.
You just have to pretend to be a Mariners fan.
Oh my god. Yes. Oh, and I felt like, I mean, during that whole playoff run, I'm down there like literally just sitting in the corner like praying like the Mariners win or something good happens, because if not, they're going to be in a horrible mood that time. And I'm like, oh goodness. So
who's your team?
I like the Cubs. I'm a big Cubs fan, because my dad is from born and raised in Chicago, so we like grew up just kind of visiting family out there and going to Cubs games. And I mean, one of my best like baseball memories in general is the 2016 run they had, and the game 7 staying up, the rain delay. It was like 2 a.m. our time, and me and my dad both stayed up the entire time. I had school the next day. He was like, oh, you're good, you don't have to go, like, you're good. I think he stayed home from work the next day too.
It's awesome.
So it was awesome.
See, you're from Charlotte. I was hoping we had another Braves fan, but that's all right. Cubs a good pick. I don't mind the Cubs.
Yeah. Well, him playing in the Braves organization definitely was like, he has a good amount of stories about like Chipper Jones and like Andrew Jones and kind of all those guys in the just kind of like spring training time that he spent with them. So that was definitely interesting. Like, I have kind of that connection to the Braves, and I like following them.
Yeah,
definitely. I mean, he's a diehard Cubs fan, so I was kind of just kind of like inherited it, I guess.
Yeah, we're not mad at the Cubs. The Cubs have signed many ODU player over the years. Mm-hmm. We are not mad at the Cubbies. We're all for the Cubs fans. So that's a good pick. That was when I was a kid. You'd come home and you watch the Cubs on TV when you got home from what you would do from school.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Cubs on WGN and the Braves on TBS. Like, that was those are the games you could always watch. I think PJ is still in the Cubs organization. He's been bouncing back and forth.
He is with the Reds, actually, the last couple of years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he's still got, like, Andy Gariola is still with him. Somebody else. I think Carter Trice still playing for him.
Yeah, we had two or three guys on the Pelican stuff in their minor league system for a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it used to be a joke. Like, you know, you're either going to the Cubs or the Red Sox. If you play for ODU and get drafted, that's where you're going.
Yeah.
That's fun. Yeah, that was one of the things. I mentioned to Marin on my recruiting visit. I was a Cubs fan, and he was like, yeah, he like mentioned that stat to me. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, yeah. Good pipeline set up there. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't know that you were living with Chuck, but he's quickly becoming one of my favorite people on the team, mainly for his athleticism, getting over that brick wall for foul balls down there. Is he like just kind of, is he just like that off the field as he is on the field?
Yeah, he's awesome. I mean, he's like, you never kind of know what you're going to get from him. He's just kind of like, you walk in from the house after a long day of practice, he's just there chilling on the couch, like, sub, and he's always got a smile on his face, like, he's kind of always there to brighten up the house with, you know, whatever he's got going on. So, no, he's awesome on and off the field. He's, I mean, talented arm, too. Hurts that he kind of went down with a little arm injury, but yeah, he's awesome.
Well, you're a little bit of a ridiculous guy too. I mean, I know you're coming off like very put together and serious, but you're a little bit of a silly Billy yourself. You and Scotty do some nonsense.
Listen, yeah, I'm not going to throw any guys under the bus, but I'm not the only one on the squad that.
Oh yeah, no, I'm all for it. Yeah,
yeah, that you'd be shocked to be like, oh, they're pretty weird, but it's nice being able to kind of be yourself around a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody is just kind of themselves no matter what. It's a good, I don't know, kind of vibe, I guess, of kind of everybody can, yeah, just be themselves.
Yeah, a lot of meows from the dugout.
Yeah, it's a good those. We have a cat calendar up in the locker room, and we had like a, for Maverick's birthday, I think it was in the fall, Scotty got him a big, like, kind of like happy birthday sign with a bunch of cats on it, and it's still hanging up in the locker room. So it's like one of those things you get back after a long day of practice and you just greet it with a bunch of cats. It's like, oh,
nice. Oh, the cat club. Love it.
Yeah.
Awesome. CB, you got anything else?
No, I mean, Tyler, like Finney pointed out, man, it's excited for you. I love seeing the, I think the way you put it, the maturity, just growing as a human. That's just very cool to see. And obviously, I think that always that ends up showing results everywhere in your life. So, man, that's excited for it, man. You're a great kid. I'm glad we got to have you on here to talk to you a little bit. And
thank you.
Looking forward to getting out to watching you play some more baseball, man.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love being on it. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you, Tyler. We appreciate it. We will be back in just a second with Players of the Week and wrap up the rest. Thanks again, Tyler.
Yep, thank you very much. Thanks, Tyler.
Appreciate it, man.
All right. Well, the time has come here for Players of the Week. I'll give you a second to get your stats ready. We did go 1-3 this week, we have Players of the Week. And you just got to listen to one of them.
Well, yeah, we just talked. I mean, and Tyler has been off to such a good start that it's about time that he won the award. Had a great week, 7 for 16, had a double, a homer, 3 RBIs, 3 runs scored. Just continued to play well. I mean, I say he's hitting over 400 for the season, so just off to a great start. Mac Dye had a nice week. He didn't play in one of the games, I can't remember which, it might have been the Wednesday game against ECU, but he was 5 for 10, homer that hadn't landed yet, three RBIs, a walk, 3 runs scored. Will Johnson had a nice, again, some guys, it's a nice week, you know, 4 out of 12, a double, 4 RBIs, a walk, a sacrifice, a stolen base. And I think I mentioned this earlier, Cash J, you know, again, not like the most amazing week, but 3 for 9, a double, RBI, 3 walks, a hit by pitch, 2 runs, stolen base, kind of fell up the stat sheet for a guy who until this weekend was hitting under 100 or under 200. So it's nice to see him hopefully moving in the right direction, because we know he's a good ball player. We know the guy can play. It's just sometimes, you know, I always think when a guy is struggling when you first start the season, it looks so much worse, because it's like the batting average is just like, you know, 091. It's like, okay, but if you do that, you do that for a 2-week stretch in the middle of the season, you don't really notice it because it go from 270 to 258. You know, it's like, that's just how it works.
Yeah, I think at one point they flashed a graphic that he was hitting 168 and immediately ripped a double down the line. And I was like, well, that's probably close to 200 now. So,
yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. It doesn't take a lot to get it higher. So, yeah. So, again, and some of our guys who had been having kind of amazing weeks, they were fine. There wasn't, you know, none of the guys really had terrible weeks. It wasn't like TJ Aiken and Zach Late and Maverick Stallings, you know, had horrible bad weeks. They just, you know, they weren't top of the world weeks. They were just kind of like, they're kind of like what normal guys do, and they'd been superhuman for the first 4 weeks. So hopefully they get back to being superhuman next week. You know, we love them as normal guys, but we want to be superhuman when they're out there on the field. And then, you know, and we'll be honest, there were not a, this might be one where you won because you were the only guy that really stepped up. There were not a ton of great pitching performances this week. I think that's, you know, we know that. But Ben Tanton came back. So he is now 2 weeks in a row, the reigning pitcher of the week for us. He had two scoreless innings in that game when we needed them. If he didn't throw those two scoreless innings, we probably don't win on Friday because we needed it. So he came in three strikeouts in that, one walk, one hit. So that's, let me see, look. So that's now in the last 2 weeks, three games, seven innings, no runs, four strikeouts, one walk, one hit. I mean, that's pretty
outstanding good
run for a freshman. Yeah. So like I said, hopefully you start seeing that. If you can find a way to stretch it out again, then it's up to these guys. Like I said, be more economical and then you can make it happen. You know, 50 pitches should be like three or four innings. Don't make it two. Yeah. My dad's big on pitch count. He's always like, he wants to see 13 every inning. I'm like, that's, you know, Greg Maddux does that. I think like 15, 16 might be more reasonable for guys, but you, again, if you throw strikes, it happens. But also Cole Lanford, as you pointed out, another good outing. You know, again, kind of a losing effort, but three scoreless innings, gave him a hit, did walk three, but also struck out four. So he looked good. Sulpizio had a scoreless inning. Max Jack, he actually pitched two games this week, 2 2/3 innings, did give up a run in the game at ECU, but three hits, three Ks. And then I forgot to write it down, but Patrick Johnson, he did have another a good up here, especially for having to come in the first inning.
Yeah.
I think he pitched 2 2/3, gave up like what, two runs. That home run, almost immediately gave up that home run, but then got right down to it and really got him in a place where they were able to win that game because of what he did, followed by Ben.
Yeah. And Patrick got, it was his first collegiate win as a pitcher too, yeah, on Friday to get that. And
is it really, he's played at Middle Tennessee and Texas Tech, or the Tennessee, right, Tech, and he's never.
I should say first at ODU. I don't know about.
Oh, okay, all right. It could be true. I mean, it happened. Yeah. Okay. All right. I was like, that's sometimes it happens.
Yeah. All right. That was. I mean, that's a tough situation to come in. You know, starter goes down. There's guys on base already. That's going to be difficult. Yeah. But once he, you know, came back out for the next inning, man, he looked pretty dialed in, and more importantly, just put up a couple zeros and kept us in that game. And then of course the offense helped out too by, you know, seeing that in the bottom half, they put up four in the second, and then we were in good shape from there. Congrats to Tyler and Ben. You know, I asked the question, you know, when does Ben become a starter? And I didn't get a no answer there. It sure sounded like that was not the first time that idea popped into Finney's brain this weekend.
I think we've talked about this before, but you know, he's, as he said, he's always looking for someone to prove themselves. And if the guys can go out there and stack zeros and throw strikes, they're going to get those opportunities. You're going to be able to run as long as you can run. If you can go out and, you know, you're going to hit a certain point where they're going to say, hey, we can't have him throw this many pitches just because he hasn't thrown this many before. But you keep doing it, you keep stretching. Yeah, I mean, I think he would. You'd love if every single guy on the staff is amazing. You were having to fight to get some guys innings. But right now we got the opposite where it's like, no, we need some guys to step up. We need somebody to show up and say, hey, I should be the one to be getting these innings. I don't think anything's off the table right now. When you're 9-9 and 1-2 in conference and you're getting like, I mean, I think if you look at the team stats, we have like two guys with like 18 and 19 innings. And then a bunch of other guys with like 18 and 16, 18 for Kusky, 16 for Gaddy. And then there's like a stretch of like 7-8 guys between 8 and 6 innings. And actually it might be more like 12 guys between 8 and 4 innings. So you're wanting somebody to step up and earn those innings and show they can do it.
Yeah. And I'll call this out too. We've had some fantastic starting pitching come through ODU in the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are in minor league systems now. I mean, if you Blake Dillon and John Hollibetz are all basically right there together on the West Coast of Florida in spring.
Sam Armstrong's in Double A. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Noah Dean is not that far removed. Like, we've had some really
Trent Buchanan pitchers. Had a good year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a ton of them. And on paper, I think it's easy to say, oh, well, you know, we got this transfer from here, plug and play. It's not always that simple. Like, the Sun Belt is not an easy conference, and you got a reminder of that. Of Troy's not
Arkansas right State's in the top 25. Like, what?
I mean, Louisiana looks good. Of course, you got Southern Miss. I mean, Coastal's missing two of the best starters in the country, and they just went to App State and got a sweep.
Yeah,
like, this is not like some of our other sports that are in the Sun Belt.
I think I saw something today that was pointing out like how many, I think it's four in the top 25 right now for the Sun Belt.
Yeah, I
mean, which is like it's a power four conference.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt about it. I mean, there's no debate if we're the best mid-major conference. That's already decided. Yeah. It's are, I think we're better than maybe the Big Ten and possibly some teams in the Big 12 too.
Right.
So it's tough to go and replace really good arms like that, that you've kind of like, I know I've gotten spoiled watching those guys. Cause you know, they come in, they're, you know, they might have one bad inning and they give up a run or two. So there's still a lot to figure out there, but we do have to start figuring out.
Which is funny because I feel like last year going into the year, we were like, is this going to work? I mean, at that point, you know, Blake had been coming off kind of a down year.
Dylan
had never really, I mean, he'd shown a lot of flashes. He'd never really shown an ability to kind of stay in games and stay long. And Ben Moore, you know, he still had some struggles throughout the year. But he really, the same thing. He had really kind of shown flashes as a reliever. So even coming into the year, it wasn't like we were like, oh, this is going to be amazing. And it kind of had to organically appear during the season. And, you know, there's still 9 weeks of conference play left. Like there's still a lot of season left. And there's a lot of time for these guys to show up and say, hey, I am that dude and I'm going to be that guy. I mean, you could theoretically very easily become the conference pitcher of the year in the last 9 weeks of the year, because there's 9 weeks of conference left. You go out and shove for 9 weeks, you could be the guy. I don't need you to be a conference pitcher of the year. I just need you to go out and play really well. But, you know, the opportunity is there. I think that's the one thing you can say is no matter who you are, there's a lot of pitchers on the staff and there's a lot of innings available to whoever is going to throw well. Mm-hmm. So that's a nice thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's got 27 more conference games to go. Like we play 30 of them. It doesn't get easier. Like Troy's a tough team. Like we get App State at home, but like we were talking about when Finney was on, tough. I mean, they were leading those games, every single one of those games.
What I remember about them is they just hit. They just like hit.
Oh, nonstop. Yeah. Especially when we're down there in Boone, where elevation is a little bit of a factor. Yeah. They got a little smaller park. It's a fun place to watch baseball, a beautiful place. But
yeah, it looks beautiful.
I don't know what the weather looks like yet this weekend. I don't think anyone has got it right. I mean, they canceled all the schools in Richmond today, and I didn't hear a single bit of thunder all day long. But, you know, if you get some wind blowing out, especially with no real backing behind home plate, like it's all open, you get guys that just want to swing at everything. You could see some serious runs this weekend, but this is one of those, all right, we got one on the road that kind of just checks the box. It's not great, but it's not a disaster. Because of that, you got to go and win this series against App State at home.
Yeah. Well, you got an opportunity. You got 5 games in a row at home coming up. You got Norfolk State, who, again, Norfolk State is – they're much better than they were. They won their series this weekend. They've got 4 wins. That's amazing how all last season. So they're not, you know, you can't go into that game thinking, oh, they're a pushover. Like, yeah, should we go in there and win that game? Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. Can you just go and win that game if you walk a million guys?
Nope.
You could lose a game to them, but it's a game you should win. You got, you know, the series at home against a team that's down. Again, played hard, but did lose them all. Again, you got opportunity there to win games. And then you're going to come back with, was it William and Mary? William and Mary the next Tuesday, which again, William and Mary, if you look at right now, they're kind of scuffling a little bit, kind of the same thing. You know, home game against in-state, you should beat. And then you're going to go to Richmond. Again, not a very far trip the next day. Now, that's going to be – we'll have to talk about that next week about the, you know, having a back-to-back midweeks for the first time is going to be interesting when you've been taxing your pitching staff. So that's another reason where you're going to really need some guys to show up and save some innings. Yeah. But at the end of the day, you've got 5 straight home games that you could theoretically get yourself right here. You really could go out and, you know, win a conference series for sure. Hopefully sweep. Sweeping is, we know how hard it is to sweep a conference series, but it just happened to them. Why not? Let's make them 0-6, right?
Yeah.
But you've got a chance to get yourself going the right direction, feeling a lot better about yourselves by going out and hitting the way you've been hitting, keeping that going, and pitching a lot tougher and a lot better, putting yourself in better situations.
Yeah, pitch more efficiently. And I'll remind people, I know it's next week, but we went to William & Mary last year, and they absolutely whipped our ass. They were you know, the best William & Mary team in 10 years that whipped our ass. No. That was a team that swung. They put the ball in play. They let us walk them and hit them and all that stuff. And they blasted us in Williamsburg last year. So, yeah, take care of business against Norfolk State. Take it seriously. Try to get the run rule in effect. Save a couple innings. And then big series against App State. Would love to have, you know, a huge fan turnout, especially if the weather is nice. I'm pretty sure they're doing live music again before the Saturday games. So that's going to be a good time.
Should be great this weekend. Should be in like the low 60s, mid. I mean, last week it said low 60s and ended up being almost 70. I was sweating at that high school game. I had a sweatshirt on. I was like, this is what I actually didn't drink enough water. I was feeling kind of bad there in the third inning. I had to sit down for a minute because I didn't prepare myself well because it was warmer than I thought it was going to be. I think it's going to be great. Come on and, out. Be a dummy like me and go on Wednesday anyway and freeze my butt off. At least we'll have a little bit of sunlight, hopefully.
Yeah, you'll have some longer sunlight. And, first night game in conference play two at that App State game on Friday being at 6. So I know those 3 p.m. starts and earlier starts that we've had this year on Friday has been tough for people to get to. But 6 o'clock, and we go hit Afterglow for a beer, come on over to the ballpark, enjoy some more beers there, and make that outfield seating a little bit rowdy. Let those App State guys hear it, because I can tell you anywhere we go on the road. I thought it was funny at Troy, in right field, they've got the big, basically, I don't know if it's like the black monster or whatever they call it. It's a huge wall. But over in left, you can drive your golf cart right up to the back of the fence, have yourself a little picnic. And I definitely saw some guys chirping Zadalas in left field when some balls left the ballpark. So we can definitely do the same. Be smart about it. Don't say anything dumb, but let them know you're there and that you're watching them, because it makes it a little bit more difficult to catch those fly balls.
Yeah. Come on out, man. It's going to be great. It's always it's baseball season. You got high school baseball starting up. Get out to some of that if you can. There's always some good high school games, and come out to CODU. Baseball is fun. It's just a super cool thing to do. It's a great way to spend some time.
Absolutely. I love it. All right, CB, I think that is it for us. We appreciate all of you listening in. Hope to see you at the ballpark this week or weekend. Go Monarchs.
Monarchs. Oh, you almost got me.